Blog Talk Radio.
Nexus Universe. My name is Gregory Kant, and I'm your host for Psychic Perspective, a show that talks about all things paranormal, except for demonology. Just for John Rossi in Virginia, we don't talk about that on this show. Just playing with you, John. We want to remind our listeners, this is talk radio, so we encourage you to call in and chat with us. We have a live chat room also taking place where you can post your questions or comments via Blog Talk Radio. Our phone number is on your screen, area code 347-945-7799. Please check out our website, paranexus.org. There you'll find lots of information to help you with your paranormal investigations, along with many forums and blogs for your reading pleasure. I don't want to forget to thank John Rossi in Virginia, who's screening the calls tonight, Doug Kelly here in Punta Gorda, Florida, who's running the board and keeping us on the air. Both are part of the Paranexus Corporation Board of Directors, along with all those members in the chat room who make this radio show work. Thank you for all you do. Our guest tonight, very special guest, it's Mike Broker from the UK, United Kingdom. Mike, welcome to the show.
A very good evening or morning, however you look at it.
Yes, it is 2 a.m. your time, and you are a real trooper for coming on the show.
We appreciate it. Oh, you're very welcome. It's truly a pleasure to be part of this, and I thank you for the opportunity, Greg, and a big hi to all those who may be listening.
We talked yesterday and a little before the show, and this is your first interview in the States, correct?
Absolutely correct. Yeah, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be part of it. It's, you know, I've done many countries, Europe and outside of, but this is my absolute premiere for the US. And again, I'm truly pleased to be part of it.
Well, thanks, Mike. We're certainly happy you're with us, and we're going to discuss spiritualism and also how you got into the religion and your background with spirit communication, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. A pleasure.
Now, you've been a spiritualist for over 30 years, 30, 35 years. That's
a long time. Where
exactly.
Does the time go? That's what I say. My goodness.
I think I've been in it a long time, and it's only been 10 years, so you've got that 20 years on me on that.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm doing my...
Okay, Mike, you are breaking up.
Okay, you got me now?
Yeah, I got you now.
Yeah,
go ahead and repeat that whole sentence again.
Yeah, I was just saying that, when I look back and look around and, you know, during the course of my work, and I think, my goodness, you know, it's 3 decades has passed. It is hard to believe sometimes, but it's been 3 amazing decades, and I wouldn't have changed a single day, whether the good, the bad, the indifferent. It's been a real roller coaster.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, if we may. According to your website, you state when you were 9 years old, you were visited by an Oriental guide who took you on a astral journey, and he showed you the halls of learning. And that's where you found your destiny with the spirit world, and it was explained to you. Now, I've heard the talk and a lot of written material I've read about halls of learning or the halls of records. Mike, what was it like to visit that space?
Right. Well, this, what I'm about to relate to you is, I can't stress to you, it was the absolute truth personified. It was the most strangest and bizarre thing out. But I will take you back that sort of 35 years to that particular, it was a Saturday morning, and I remember it very clearly, excuse me, because, you know, as I say, 9 years old, Saturday, no school, so that's great, it was a weekend, and, you know, a bit of a lie-in, and I'm laying in bed, and it's still quite early, and all of a sudden, I am literally floating horizontally by the gutter outside of the house. Now, the house in which I grew up was quite a large house, and not particularly very fanciful or anything of that nature, but it was big. And I am suddenly finding myself lying horizontal, let's say, outside the window, above the gutter. Now, when you think, you know, this is happening to a nine-year-old, you know, with the mind of a nine-year-old. However, whilst I'm lying there, surveying quite clearly, and I'm looking down across the yard, to the garden and beyond, and everything is incredibly clear, the most high definition. The colors were so enhanced, it was quite unbelievable to see. And I remember thinking to myself, and bearing in mind that I'm 9 years of age, I remember thinking the only way this could possibly be happening is if I'm dead. To which I wasn't fazed by whatsoever. I clearly remember not being concerned by that thought. And the only thing I did think was, you know, my mum's going to be very upset by this. But yeah, that was the thought that came to my mind. I thought, gosh, my mom's going to be upset. But I wasn't particularly troubled by that. That was just a thought that I had. And then all of a sudden, I actually sort of turned myself around, looked in through the window, and saw myself lying in the bed, and thought, yeah, I look, quite peaceful. Then the back door opened, and out came my mum, because back then, we're talking a while ago now, there was no sort of gas central heating and things of that nature. It was, everything was coal fired, and the back door opened, and mum came walking out, and she was making her way to the shed where we kept the coal. And the other thought that came into my mind was, she doesn't look particularly distressed. She mustn't know that, that I've passed. And made a mental note of what she was wearing. She was wearing like a red roll neck sweater, a pair of black ski pants, and she was walking to the shed where we keep the coal. And all of a sudden then, from that point, I found myself, and this, I have to stress this to yourself and all those who are listening, that whatever I say is my own personal belief and perspective. It's not a sweeping generalization of how things are for everyone. Because, of course, you can only go by your own experiences, and I think that is the right thing to do. So the next thing, I am in I can only describe it as a non-dimensional room. And by that, I mean that it had a floor, but didn't appear to have any sides to it, front, back, or sides, but I know that I'm in a room. However, it wasn't a room as we would know it. It was very marbly. I remember that. I remember thinking this highly, highly polished marble floor. And there were two, what looked like, not marble, but stone pillars, either side, that weren't attached to the floor, nor was there a ceiling attached to the pillar either way. So these were kind of floating midair, if you like. But I knew that there was a back to this room, but it seemed the more you walked towards what I perceived as the rear of this room, the more it moved away from me. So it would be as if you would never reach it. The more you went to it, the more it moved back from you. So at that point, there's no one there, and then all of a sudden, a guide that I know now, of course at the time I didn't, appeared to me, said nothing, absolutely no communication, no opening of mouths and words coming out. But this man, the best way I can describe it was, he was a very lovely being. He just exuded a warmth that's very, you don't experience that much on the earth plane. And this gentleman came and stood before me, and he must have been the same size as me, because we were literally eye to eye. And without him speaking a single word, he impressed on my mind that I was in the halls of learning, as I perceived it, and this was going to be my destiny for the remainder of my earthly life, and that I was not to worry, that there would be many years that would pass before anything started to materialize in this, but it was important that I know now, as a child, before I became a man, that this was the destiny that awaited me. And at that point, I was back in my bed. I woke up, and I thought, I remember thinking that wow, that's one of the strangest dreams, experiences, whatever, that you could have. And it is important to keep stressing that, at this point, I am still a child. But when I was out of the body, I can assure you, Greg, that I did not have the mind and thought processes of a child. I seemed to know all, and it was the strangest thing. So when I came to my earthly senses, I rushed down the stairs and opened the back kitchen door and walked in, and this is the beautiful part of this, is there's my mum just sort of getting the fire going, wearing the red roll neck sweater and the black ski pants. And that Wow. was the, yeah, that was the part that really sealed the deal, as they say, for me, because there's no way, if you talk about coincidence, then even those odds would make even the most ardent gambler shudder to think that you could, somehow have a dream what someone's wearing, and for them to have chosen that particular dress sense code for that morning. So that was an amazing, I remember it as if it was yesterday, and it is an incredibly long time ago now, but that is the thing that set the stage for all the things that happened to me since, within the field of the paranormal, supernatural, spiritual arenas that I've found myself in.
Well, how does a 9-year-old process that type of information, Mike? And when you came back to your earthly senses and saw your mom there in the kitchen, did you share with her what happened, or tell me that process? How did you get your parents involved in your journey?
Well, again, the that's why I felt important to keep stressing that, a 9-year-old, but I didn't have those the thought processes of a 9-year-old. When I was outside of that body, and I'll tell you something, it's the most amazing sensation out. Never again since that day have I been able to experience the kind of freedom that comes with being outside of that earthly body. And you're not thinking like a 9-year-old. In fact, you're not thinking like a human being. The freedom is not only being free from the gravity of the earth body, but also the gravity of the human mind. It's an amazing thing that is very difficult to actually put into words so that one can understand it. It's one of those things that you experience and not necessarily be able to replicate in words exactly how it feels. But your other question about my mum, yes, I did immediately. And I spent the next kind of 30 years going over it. You know, as I went from that boy to that adolescent to that man, she was an incredible woman and most amazingly supportive in this in my work and my interests. And you know, there was never any mockery. There was never any, you know, oh my goodness, you know, I have a child that. That's gone out of his mind because he's, you know, he's coming up with things like this. She was very supportive and was right to the end of her earthly life, which was a year ago in May. So yeah, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
Well, I think talking to other people from the UK. Spiritualism, spirit communication is more prevalent there than it is here. Do you agree with that, or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, Greg, to be honest with you, possibly okay. Because it's been going longer.
Probably so.
Is that, you know, it's, however, I don't think spirit, you know, are tied to particular, countries, continents, or anything of that nature. I think the U.S. from my what should we say research within the field has some amazing places, some fantastic accounts. You know, the UK is, you know, yes, it's quite old in itself, and it has a lot of history behind it. I think that you know, space is space, irrespective of what has been built on it since. One of the things that that I'm asked to do, or one of the branches of this tree that I am involved in, you know, I get calls from people to that they want me to go and they're experiencing some what they perceive to be paranormal activity within their home, I get a lot of calls from offices as well, or places of business where, you know, there's a lot going on. It's making staff uneasy and so on and so forth. And, you know, I check it out. And one of the most common things people ask me is that, you know, how can a building, say, less than 12 months old, have any kind of, you know, supernatural activity or paranormal activity attached to it? But of course, the answer to that is it doesn't have to be the stereotypical Hollywood haunted house, you know, on a hill, you know, with the lightning and the thunder and the strong winds, similar to the weather that we've got right here at this time. It can, you know, because it's not necessarily the building per se, it's the space on which that is built. So yes, the building may be you know, less than 12 months old, but the space on which the building is put is as old as time itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I
want to follow up on the Oriental guide. Have you seen him since that one time, or was that a one-shot deal?
No, I've had the honor and pleasure of having one more visitation from him, and that was about that probably four earthly years passed before I was able to meet him again. And I this time, this was not my being taken astrally from my earthly body to their arena. This time he came to me, and it was in dream state. And of course, dreams, you know, are one of the best psychic receptors that we have. for people who are not, you know, into meditating to raise their consciousness and so on. A lot of people experience prophetic dreams and spiritual visitations whilst they're in dream state, simply because the conscious mind takes a step back and allows the subconscious to come to the fore more. And and this is what happened when I was, I think I was probably around 13 when he made one more visit. And if I could just explain to you how that worked, and it's really bizarre. All of a sudden, I'm in a room, and I know that this is, it's portrayed to me in my dream state as an, you know, as a room that I would understand. So in other words, just like a room that you would see, almost like a warehouse, in fairness. Mm-hmm. And it had a chair in the middle of the floor. And then there was a door. The door opened. In walked this gentleman. And I was sat on the chair. He walked over to me, placed his left hand on my right shoulder, and just stood there. Neither of us said anything, not even telepathically. He just stood there. I remember he had the most beautiful blue a coat, I would imagine, but the coat went from, you know, fastened at the neck. His features of these small black shoes protruding from the bottom of this amazing blue, shiny, silky coat, and a small, round black hat. And he just walked over and said, placed a hand on my shoulder. And when I...
Mike, you are breaking up. I just wanted to let you know that.
Is that any better? I'm going to move. I'm going to move my antenna around. And you picked me up on that.
This is a fascinating story, and I want all the listeners to hear every bit of it, because I'm sitting on the edge of my sofa just engulfing in this. I just want everyone to hear it. Are you there now? If you're there, I cannot hear you. Go back to where you were sitting. Doug, are we still connected with Mike?
No, Mike dropped off. I'm okay. Trying to get him back. So,
it happens.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey, Mike. Welcome back.
Hi. You see, you know, we may have these small hurdles, but we overcome them, and that's the most important thing.
That's okay. I wanted to make sure everyone heard your story, because it's so fascinating. The gentleman that was visiting you, and I'm going to tie this in with a question that's in the chat room. We're taught... You know, we have our spirit guides, different levels of the guides. You know, there's just a guide, maybe a family, and then there's what they call the ascended masters that have developed and have all this knowledge. Would you consider your oriental guide more of an ascended master? Or what's your take on those terminologies?
Well, to be honest with you, we have, as you rightly pointed out, you know, various guides that are attached to various titles. We've got the, you know, your doorkeepers, gatekeepers, principal spirit guides, general spirit guides. I think that the gentleman who was assigned to me was a messenger. He was a personal assigned messenger to me. That's how I felt. I felt that he belonged to me, that he was someone who was delivering the initial message. And he occasionally, you know, he would check up on me to make sure that everything was going how it was planned to be, how it was ordained to be. So I wouldn't like to put a title on him in general, but I know that whatever he was, I mean, you know, I've had from that point, obviously, the sort of 13, 15 onwards, when I got more, because, you know, the path was carved out, and that I would have experiences more with different entities, with different spiritual visitations coming to see me in my sleep state and waking state. And then, of course, when I moved more into the spiritual arena and became involved in the spiritual churches, in the development circles and development classes, still as a, you know, a relatively young man, you know, we're talking sort of 13, 14, I was at the spiritualist church, and then became part of the development circles and classes there. So if you can imagine where everyone else was kind of 14, 15, you know, my peers were, you know, out and about doing what they would do, they found it somewhat unusual that, you know, while they were going out or maybe whatever one does at that sort of adolescent age, you know, my time was spent, you know, at the spiritualist church on a Wednesday and a Sunday, and then the development classes on a Thursday. But, you know, the beauty of it is, and this is what I've always maintained and always strive to do, is to be completely feet on the ground, completely normal, interacting, you know, with society as one would, to prove that there's nothing unusual about me as an individual. Just a completely regular sort of person, and you know, to prove that you don't. And it's strange because my peers, you know, even at that age, you know, through high school and so on, they were fully aware of my interest within that, and it was never frowned upon. I was never mocked. It was never jeered. They were genuinely interested, and they would, you know, they would come to me and they would ask questions and. You know, what I thought of it, and, you know, is this something that they could become involved in? And I thought that was amazing, you know, back then, for your peers of that age to take it seriously as I did. And I think it's because, you know, I maintained this look, you know, I'm a completely, you know, normal, regular person. There's nothing strange, nothing bizarre. But yes, I have a belief. And I have had personal experiences, and that sways the way that I think and my perception on the earth, and that which goes on beyond the earth.
Hey, it's Gregory. I'm back online. Did y'all even know I was gone?
Hey, we enjoyed listening to Mike while you were.
Yeah, why do I even need to?
No, next time just don't say anything. Nobody'd even know the difference.
God bless you, Mike, for covering.
There you go. You see, I must have known, Gregory. I must have known that you needed me to ramble like that. But, you know,
I just got totally kicked off my network and everything. It's all right.
But we're all back together again now.
So you just go right ahead and finish whatever you were talking about.
No, that's pretty much it. I was just really simply saying that, you know, that that early stage, carving out my future with my peers was great, because it allowed me to be part of the spiritual belief and faith and not have to hide it away. Not that I ever would, because. Fortunately, you know, I'm just not that kind of individual that if I have a belief in something, then I will never, you know, I'll never hide it away, because, you know, there's no point to it. You either have the belief in it, in something, and it can be anything, you know, and if you believe strongly enough in something, then, you know, stand up with it, you know, walk around, you know, with it on your chest and say, look, you know, this is my belief. And if there, as you can imagine, and I'm sure the people listening can imagine, that through the last three decades of my doing this, of course I have come across, you know, a great deal of resistance. But that has never stopped me. That resistance has made me stronger in the way I feel about what I do, and you know, and how I will continue. And spend so much.
Are you there, Gregory?
I am here.
Yes.
Great. As you can, mic's dropping out a little bit.
Okay.
Are you catching that, Gregory, or is it just me?
No, I'm catching it. Is he still with us?
As far as I know.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Okay, Mike.
Absolutely.
Trying this connection over a large body of water, it's quite interesting.
Well, when you think, in fairness to the technology, you know, I will be the devil's advocate. You know, we're not doing bad.
We're not doing bad at all.
Absolutely not.
Let me talk about, you stated on your website that you started giving readings and personal consultations when you were 12. How does someone who's 50 or 60 years old react to a 12, 13-year-old telling them information that there's no way they could possibly know or have heard? What kind of reaction did you get that young?
Yeah, fantastic. I remember it very well indeed, because initially, you know, the kind of 12, 13, 14, it was more so done with kind of family members, just really giving my impressions, and they were quite amazed at it's like, okay, you know, this is right, and even though it's, you know, a family member, it doesn't really, you know, this is stuff that he doesn't really know. That would really how I would kind of try it out initially. Then I remember the first one I did for a group of people that lived kind of down the road, and they got to know, you know, what I did, and of course it always generates a lot of interest. So they invited me to, if I wouldn't mind, to go to, it was a friend of my mom's. You know, when I go, and I think there's three or four of them, and of course they were, I was the 14, 15, and they were, as you rightly said, they would be then sort of 50s, 60s, and you know, I went round, and one at a time, I just sat there with them and just told them whatever came into my mind, and they were absolutely over the moon. They were totally impressed. They thought the experience was great. And, you know, they fed that back to my mum, who then fed it back to me. And I was absolutely so pleased that I could do that for someone. Because what I've always done, for every time I've done a reading over this period of time, you know, right to what I do now, which, of course, is constant now. But all the time, what I've only ever wanted to achieve is to have the person whom you're doing the reading for. People say to me, how do you know if it's a good reading? You know if the reading's good by how the person feels after you've done the reading. It's not necessarily you've done the reading for them, and yes, thanks to the wonderful guides that are around me when I do these readings, I take no credit myself personally. It is all down to them that makes the readings good and the information correct. What is important is how that person feels. When that person says to me at the end of the reading, you know, I feel like I'm walking 2 inches higher than the pavement. You know, I feel so content. That says to me that the reading has been good. because it's how they feel. Because when you think about it, it's bringing your spirit, i.e. mine, the spirit people around us that's assisting in the communication, and the spirit of the person you're doing the reading for. You know, mm-hmm. so we're actually connecting at source. We're connecting spiritually. You know, one of the things that I don't go into, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say to them, you know, any long journeys, unless, of course, they're actually going on one. I'm not going to tell them that, you know, they're going to, you know, great, don't forget to buy your lottery ticket because, my goodness, I think you're going to be, you know, multimillionaire. You know, it's not what it's about. Fine, if I feel that's the case, then of course I will mention it. But it's about, you know, bringing an element of love, of hope, of contentment, of peace. And just to say, look, yeah, we know the world in which we live has a lot of hairline fractures around it. And of course it does. You know, we can't disguise it. We're not going to be foolish enough to say that it's utopia and all's well. It's not. And we see it on a daily basis. And we read the newspapers, we see the television, and, you know, we have all this negativity poured into us. However, what we have to remember is, amidst all that, there are many, many, many amazing people out there, wonderful people out there. There's a great deal of love and affection that still exists, and it is easy to become tied to the negative because, for some bizarre reason, you know, it's not seen as news unless it's negative. You know,
absolutely.
You know, don't talk about good things because people don't want to hear that. Well, you know, we have news for them. We actually do. And, you know, there's good stuff out there. So, you know, so let's start doing a bit of yin and yang. Let's balance it out. Let's get the equilibrium back so that we can say, okay, we know the bad stuff goes on, but look, there's also a lot of amazing stuff as well, and there's a lot of fantastic people out there. And I meet them on a regular basis. So I tell you, I'm a long, long way from giving up on us yet. You know, there's of course, there's a lot of work to be done, but we can do it.
I agree with you 100% on that. Let me ask a question, Mike. When you're doing your readings for individuals, are your clients looking more for that proving the continuity of life? Are they looking more for prophecy type responses? What are they looking for when they come to you? A little bit of both?
You know, I was going to say, you know, it's a mixed bag, and it is. You have what I want to say, and you know, it is relevant to the question you just asked. I want to dispel a myth that exists out there, and I'm sure not just here in the UK, but right across the globe. That psychics, mediums, you know, intermediaries, however you want to title it, you know, I've had people say to me, you are exploiting people's loss, you're exploiting people's grief, you're exploiting people's suffering. If anyone knew me and have ever met me or heard me speak, they would know nothing could be further from the truth. That is the last thing we would ever do. I'm quite sure, you know, being a realist, that there are perhaps people out there who may fall in that category, but they are thankfully few and far between. My aim is to bring, you know, if someone has suffered a loss, then of course we would offer them, you know, a form of counseling, spiritual counseling, and their sense of loss by saying, look, you know, okay, we've encountered a loss, and yes, there is a grief process and we're incredibly sad. However, you know, try and understand that this, you know, wife, mother, brother, sister, daughter, still maintains their character, still maintains their thought processes, and are able to still be around you as often as they can. But more often than not, every reading is as individual as the person itself. There are those who come out of interest. They, you know, what should we do? We've got nothing to do. It's next weekend, or let's go and see a psychic. just as an element of almost fun. So you have those. You have those who have encountered a loss and maybe of many years and are looking for something that can just vindicate it and give them the proof that's needed. So exists and is well and happy and healthy. Then, of course, you have the other element who are looking for, do I go left? Do I go right? You know, I'm at the crossroads, as we all are every day. Every day, we are each and every one of us at some crossroads at some point. That is not unique. So when we're told that we're at a crossroads, you know, then invariably we are, because every minute of our waking day is nothing but a plethora of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Will alter things. So for those looking for futuristic readings, it's very difficult because I don't believe that the future is set in stone. I think it's as fluid as a waterfall, that the yes, the water starts there and it ends there, but the bit in the middle moves along the as waterfalls move along the formation of the rocks in and out of different crevices, different turns. You know, if the wind should suddenly blow east, then you know it's going to move that way, and then it will come back. And I honestly believe that that's how our future is. And I think it's twofold. I think we, as the individuals, have a massive role in how we carve out our future. But I also think there's an element that is preordained that will get us to a certain point. It's what we experience between A and B that is, I believe is down to us to a degree. So if someone wants to know their future, that is very difficult because you can offer different variants. You know, if this choice is made, then this is the possibility. But I would never, ever say to someone, you know, this is your future. Nothing's going to deviate from that. Because they could leave my reading and say, you know, yeah, normally for 20 years I've taken this journey home. Tonight I'm going to go this way. I don't know why, but I'm just going to go that way. And they could go that way. And by going that way, they could, you know, pull up at somewhere, you know, maybe get a bite to eat. And my goodness, there's someone they haven't seen for 15 years, strike up a relationship. That's the kind of thing how it works. So. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly important, and although, you know, I would never take me seriously, I just couldn't do it. It would be impossible to do, and anyone who knows me, you know, knows that's how I am. However, I take the work seriously, and more importantly, I take very seriously the thoughts and feelings of those whom I come into contact with, because I see so often people disenchanted with the psychic work, and you know they've seen psychics and they've had a really bad experience because they've either, you know, told them absolutely nothing, or they've told them some dreadful things. And you know, it's such a shame, because you know, this should be something that's enjoyed, because it's a very special thing, and the time with these people whom you're doing readings for is very important. And you know, I stress to anybody, you never really know whether you're going to get a good reading or a bad reading, or should I say a good psychic or a bad one, until you've done it. And it's just one of those unfortunate things that you know, it's from experience. What I would say is, try and if someone is thinking of attending a reading, try and go to someone who has been recommended to you, as opposed to someone who maybe advertises. Because I actually stopped advertising probably about 25 years ago. I've never placed an advert in a paper or anything since. Because obviously people just go around and tell other people, and they call and they want a reading, and so that goes. To which I'm which I'm very grateful for.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important as spiritualist mediums, when we touch in and talk with people, that we do also have that counseling going on, because people come for readings, but they actually need a little bit of counseling to go with it. And they also need to have closure about those who have passed on. Any thoughts on that, Mike?
Absolutely. I think, you know, other than the people just looking for a little, you know, excitement, or, you know, what was a loose weekend, so we're just going to see what this guy can do. I think people do genuinely want that element of closure. Even myself, you know, even knowing what I know and believing what I believe over all this time, when I had the loss of my mom, you know, just over a year ago, that was a massive thing to me, because we were incredibly close. You know, she was an amazing woman, and you know, I'm quite sure she's blushing somewhere now, listening to my saying this. But she was, and it was a big shock to me when she passed. However, knowing what I know, that was an incredible help to me, because, you know, I knew that yes, she had to leave for a short while, but I knew that she would be back. And I'll tell you something, Greg, what I did, whether this was right or wrong, but shortly after her passing, and I knew I had to kind of be quick, because the window was not very big, and before she would be sort of, you know, spirit hospital, then to their own halls of learning, I actually requested one night. I said, look, you know, I've worked tirelessly for you for all this time, and purported, you know, the spiritual existence. And I said, I want to call in a favor, if I may, and just ask if I, you know, if I can see her just one more time, you know, before she needs to be where she needs to be. And that night I was taken off. I found myself walking, because the last sort of couple of years of her life were mostly, it was either hospital or respite, and I was there, you know, daily. You know, I've never let one day go past where I didn't see her, and try and be with her as much as I could. I was walking spiritually, astrally, walking down this corridor that they tried to create, and I know what they'd done. They'd created like a Hollywood set. They'd done like a corridor, which was almost like a respite center. So I walked down the corridor, opened the door, went in, and there was my mum lay in bed, and then she sort of started shuffling herself up, as one does, you know, when I walked in. And I said, it's okay. I said, you just lie there, everything's fine. And I remember there was a window, oblong window, and it was not only black outside and dark, but there was nothing outside because it wasn't real. It was a make-believe window to give me a perspective of seeing my mom in a hospital room. And there was a small wooden unit. There was an LCD alarm clock on the top of this unit, and it had green LCD, and it said, I think it was 11:13 in this blinking, flashing clock. So I walked over to my mum, spoke with her, you know, how are you? Yeah, you know, I'm doing okay. She said, I would just want you to know that, you know, I'm okay, and most importantly, you'll be okay too. And we had a little chat for maybe what seemed like 5 minutes to me. And I said, okay, you know, I'll see you soon. And, you know, you take care of yourself. And I turned around and walked. I looked at the clock. It hadn't moved. It's still 11:13. Okay, because it wasn't real. None of it was real. It was just all prop. So my conception and perception could understand. But they allowed me to see her one last time before she had to go and be healed herself and readjusted and adapt to, obviously, her new surroundings and environment. And I will always be incredibly grateful to Spirit for allowing that to take place, of course.
Wow, that is a gift in itself. That is wonderful. I have been waiting for my grandmother, who I was real close to past 3 years, to come back, and I haven't seen her yet, but I'm waiting for the day. Whenever she's ready, I'm ready.
And that's what it's about, Greg. It is. It's everything's about timing. Everything is about the right time. You know, when I was sort of growing up, looking back, you know, I put my dear mum through a lot because, you know, I always wanted everything to happen yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why is this not happening? You know, I've tried so hard. Why am I not at this stage? And so on and so forth. And, you know, she was always so positive. And I've learned now that it's all about timing, that mm-hmm. things have to be the right time. It's strange because, you know, my granddad, who I was incredibly close to, he was like a brother to me, because we grew up, well, we didn't grow up together, but I grew up with him. You know, he lived in the house, and he really was like a brother to me. And we had great times growing up. And I was actually with him as he passed. And, wow. You know, as I knew that would be the case. And, you know, that was 1994, and he still hasn't been back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really bizarre, because of all the people that I thought he would be, you know, he would have been the first one to race back. And for some bizarre reason, you know, what are we now? My goodness, 15 years or so, maybe more, he still hasn't come back. And there will be a reason for that. There will be a reason. Mm-hmm. I can't question that. And I can ask nightly, as I do. You know, it's like, if you know, if my mum's around, you know, please, you know, come and say hi. You know, it's my granddad, you know, don't hesitate to come, you know, stop by and say hi. But I had the most amazing vision the other night that I would love to tell you about, because I don't know exactly why I had it, but I do want to share it with you. I was laying in my bed and, you know, kind of getting ready to go to sleep state. And all of a sudden I saw very clearly, very high definition, extreme color, which of course color is a big indicator that it's not the brain dreaming. Mm-hmm. The same way that if you, in your dream, you see, you can see, let's say you dream that you're reading a newspaper. If it's a brain dream, you shouldn't be able to see any writing. You shouldn't be, nothing should make sense. It should just mm-hmm. be jump rubbish, because the part of the brain that dreams is not the part that computes and calculates numbers, letters, colors. So, you know, if those things are in your dream, the chances are extremely high that is something spiritual, as opposed to just the mind, the brain mumbling over various things. But the image was of the most amazing field. It was a meadow. There was these amazing trees that stood so strong against this backdrop of blue sky. And then it kind of, almost it was a camera, the camera panned to the right, whereby there was a row of children, I guess ranging from the oldest would have been maybe 13 to the youngest, who would have been about two. And there must have been, I don't know, 50, 60 children lined up next to, standing by a stream. And they were just lined up. And as I looked at each face looked back at me and just beaming smile on each face of these children. And I have no idea, and I wish I did, I have no idea why I was shown that. But it was... It was very clear to me that it was not of this world. It was not something prophetic from the earth. It was spiritual, but I just don't know why I saw such a most beautiful, amazing vision. And it was a vision of hope. It was a vision of love. It just made me feel amazing inside to look at this, not only beautiful scenery, but also these smiling faces of all these children of different colors, creed, size, race, age, looking back. And It was a spiritual experience, one that I will hold with me for quite some time.
Wow. You brought up a good point about the brain, and I actually never heard anyone say it like you did, because I've always wondered, when I'm in my dream state and I'm looking at something with words or numbers and I can't make it out. So that's an actual dream state happening. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. What we have to remember is that the mind and the brain, people speak about them as if they're one entity. And of course they're not. They're two separate things. The brain is the physical part of the physical makeup, and the mind is the spiritual aspect of it. It's where you get your emotion. It's where you get your sense of premonition, intuition, instinct. How many people, Greg, will have said to you, "Oh, I wish I could do what you do," or "I wish I was able to, you know, be spiritual. I wish I was able to be psychic." Well, of course, there isn't a living soul that isn't able to be psychic to a greater or lesser degree. There's not
Absolutely.
One. Because we are spirit first, body last. So we're all
Absolutely.
Spirit. So in that sense, then we must all be able to be spiritualists. It's not, you know, it's not a heavy title that people need to be, you know, afraid of. All we're saying to you, as spiritualists, that we understand and accept that when we strip away this bone, flesh, muscle tissue, that when all that is gone, there remains an energy that we're impressed on that is able to exist beyond what we understand now.
Mm-hmm. So I couldn't agree with you more. We've got less than 3 minutes left in the show, and I haven't gotten through half of what I wanted to talk about.
Okay, we're going to have to get a three-hour special lined up.
Well, you know, you have to talk to Doug about that. He only allows me an hour a month for the show.
That's outrageous. Yeah, I'll have to have a word.
But certainly we want you back as soon as we can work it out with your schedule. Please, please put it on your schedule to come back and talk to us some more. For the last couple of minutes, over here, we have an abundance of ghost hunter shows, taps, things of that nature. Do you have the same type of shows over there?
Yes, we do. We have an abundance of shows of that genre within the UK. And, you know, what I have to say is that I think there are certain shows that exist out there that do an incredible amount of harm to the psychic arena and field. Not everyone. I would never make such a sweeping generalization. There are shows that are put together sensibly, sensitively, and genuinely that I thoroughly enjoy. And I can say, you know, yeah, there's thought gone into that. It's from an investigative point of view. But unfortunately, there are shows, certainly, you know, that you see on cable and Sky that you look at and quite honestly, you know, make me cringe. And they lead people to say to me, and it happens a lot, "Oh, this is the kind of thing you're involved in. You know, it's just a real joke, isn't it? And, you know, this what you do, you know, you're a joke." And it's like, yeah, this is what I've been trying to, you know, to get away from all these years and tell people you know, that this isn't what it's about, that psychic is about something that is real. Yes, all these things exist. And, you know, yes, to be quite honest with you, it's a real and genuine thing, but it's not a joke. And I can't stress that to people enough. It's something amazing that we should really embrace and take on board.
Mike, thank you so much for being part of the show tonight. And we are certainly going to book you for a future show. And we'll get down on our knees and beg Doug for some more time. How's that sound?
It's absolutely fantastic. It's been an amazing night. And a big hello and goodbye to the U.S. It's my first time, and I sure hope it isn't my last.
Hold on, and we'll talk after the show. I want to remind everyone, please join us at Paranexus.org. Next week, Abduction Phenomenon with Travis Walton is on Thursday. Then every Monday night's the Informal Paranormal Radio with John and Doug. Thanks, everyone, for being part of the show tonight. Put some comments. Let us know how we're doing. Give us some feedback. Until we talk again, God bless each and every one of you on the path. Thank you and have a great evening.